Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. Established in 2014, DeLuna Coffee is owned and operated by the Lemix family. Ed, Courtney, and their son, Brett. Ed graduated from FSU in 1979, Brett in 2009. Lifelong fans and Florida State boosters, the Lemixes attend multiple football games every year where you can find them tailgating near the Unconquered statue. Pull up a chair and pour yourself a Palafox Place. Named after the main hub, Palafox Place, in downtown Pensacola, DeLuna has combined a Brazilian, Colombian, and African bean to give it just the right flavor. This coffee can be enjoyed any time of the day. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DeLunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! WarChant.com is your ultimate seminal sports source.
And this is Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Azan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee. DeLunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. I'm fueled by the Palafox Place cold brew, Corey. It's still going strong at the last cup of it. And I'm just going to, while we're recording the show, I'm going to brew another one at room temp, put it in the fridge, and then be good to go for another week. Playing chess over here, man. Planning ahead.
That's smart. Well, DeLuna makes you smart. That should be the tagline. You didn't used to think like that a year ago.
No.
Hey, but now it just occurs to you.
I had this jingle. I don't know what you think about it. It was just kind of just floating in my head. I'm like, this would be a good jingle. Like, the best part of waking up, DeLuna in your cup.
Yeah, I've heard. I feel like I've heard that before.
Okay.
But maybe it's just because it's one of those tunes that's so catchy immediately.
I mean, it just...
You feel like... You remember Paul McCartney came up with Hey Jude or yesterday and thought he had heard it somewhere. And he kept playing it for people. Like, what song is this? You're like, we don't know. We've never heard it before. So I feel like that's what you got. That's what you got there. That's a great one, man. I hope the Limoxin take you up on that.
All right. Right on. WarChant.com, your ultimate seminal sports source. Promo code is WarChant30. That's for 30 free days of access to the website. You're going to want to join, everybody. There's plenty of reasons to, and it grew stronger by one here a few hours ago as you guys are waking up and downloading your podcast. We'll have a little more on that later on in our program. Hit the thumbs up if you're listening to us on YouTube and subscribe to the YouTube page. The YouTube page might be getting a little bit better and cooler because of the aforementioned news we're going to drop. Can they even wait, Corey? Like, they're dogs, like on the first day of hunting season, like ready to go, like pulling on the chain.
I'd say wait a little bit, maybe a few more minutes before we drop the big news.
All right, we'll let the folks wait. Lots that happened on Wednesday. It's July, but man, you know, I feel like I missed the boat or whatever metaphor we use to talk about getting on vacation, because like it's a little bit busy right now, a little busy for July. And then next week we're going to be in Charlotte, kickoff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then after that, like, I don't know, maybe a lull of 1 week, and then it's August and camp's here. Not that I'm complaining. I mean, football is what I'm here to do. Here to cover football. We're going to cover a good football team. What if they have a top 50 or 60 defense, Corey? What if they have a top 50?
That'd be big. And we're less than, 3 weeks away from the start of camp? Somewhere around there? Got to be.
I think, I don't know if Zyra tweeted or said probably they're going to start around the 6th again, which is weird to me because they started on the 6th last season and they played a full week later on. Like, you get 29 days. My understanding is you get 29 days to get 25 practices in.
But remember last week they gave teams more rope to practice because they figured there would be kids that couldn't participate because of COVID. So I think they made the preseason a little longer than it normally is. I think this is the normal amount of time.
But wouldn't you start earlier, though, if you had more rope?
No, I'm saying last year they did start earlier. They started, like, late July, I believe.
I don't think so, man. Because I remember I was trying to piece this all together, like the guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Charlie or whatever.
Mm.
Because pretty sure it was like August 6th or 7th was Norvell's fall like first day, like, hey, everybody, like, this is what's going on with us right now. But anyhow, go to warchant.com. You'll see the date on that. Nonetheless, yeah, we're like 3 weeks away from all this stuff starting. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. Did you want to talk at all about what happens to this team? Is it a top 50 or 60 defense score? Or you wanted to save that for the YouTube folks?
Well, we could give a little taste. I think it's as I said on the video, as I wrote, I think it's worth a couple wins. I mean, you think about the games last year. If your defense was half as bad, you know, which I guess technically you could say if you go from 109 to 54 or 55, you're twice as good. I don't know. How does that
matter? Yeah. You're twice
close
as
close, though, right?
Yeah,
like, yeah. You're better. You're substantially better. You're still not anywhere close to good, but you're substantially better. So yeah, I know they only gave up a few points to Georgia Tech, but if the defense had been better, they didn't give up 400-something yards, they might win that game. You look even like Louisville, man. If Louisville hadn't – I know I'm pronouncing it wrong. If they hadn't scored like the first five times they got the ball, maybe that's a real game.
Right.
That's a way to look at it. NC State, too. Like, Bailey Hawkman hasn't put up four straight touchdown drives since Pee Wee. And he does it against Florida State or something close to it where they scored every time they got the ball in the first half. If you force a few punts here and there, that's a game in the third or fourth quarter, and maybe NC State wets itself. That having a good defense, a better defense, a substantially better defense, yeah, I think it's worth at least 1.5 extra wins. Then if you're somewhere in the 109s again, man, you're going to be lucky to win 3 or 4 games. You just are. Look, go every year in the NCAA stats and look at the teams that are in the bottom triple digits in total defense, scoring defense, all those type of statistics. They don't have winning records ever. So I think that there's a reason for that. Horrible defenses mean you have a horrible football team. If you have an okay defense, a mediocre defense, you can have an okay football team. Like, remember, I mean, I know I'm not saying this team is going to do what Oregon did, but Oregon's defense in 14 was abysmal. You know what I mean? It was average to mediocre, but their offense was so good they played for the national championship. You can overcome a mediocre to average defense. You can't overcome an awful one.
Well said. That was the example. Thanks, buddy. I used in the discussion that we had. That's up on warchant.com. Again, Ira and Gene also throwing in their thoughts on what if Florida State was able to field the top 50 or 60 defense. But like North Carolina, I think, was 58th.
Yeah, which that's a great one. That's a great comparison.
That was a really good offense. They're top 5 offense in the entire country. I don't think this team is quite there yet. But I would gladly take North Carolina last year. I just don't know if the offense is there enough to kind of help prop it up.
But I
think you brought I can't really get behind your Georgia Tech example because the defense didn't play good by really much measure in that game, but I mean, they allowed 16 points.
Yeah.
It's 2021.
Well, I gotcha.
You got to be a little better than that. But I think game pressure, right, those sort of things are non-existent when you allow a team to put up 28 points in the first half. Make it 14, you know. Make it 14 and you got a whole new game going on in the second half. You know, what I kind of was wondering and posed is that I think we all agree, right? Like they're going to be better this season. We're thinking 6-6 is maybe your floor, maybe 5-7 is your floor. You know, somewhere between 5 to 8 wins, I think, is where you're going to get, I don't know, 85% of Florida State fans are going to think that's where they're at. Like, I wonder how many of those people you tell, all right, I can guarantee you Florida State is going to have the 57th ranked total defense in the country. Do they go above that 5 to 8 win range? Or they're like, all right, well, then maybe they're a 9-10 win team. Or does that just let you be like, all right, well, I thought they probably only have 5, but if you're going to tell me, I guess it goes to your point where you say a game and a half. If you tell me right now they'll be the 57th ranked defense, I will say, all right, 7-5 then. Instead of
I think it's 6-6. It confirms that they'll be in that window.
Okay. Yeah.
Because the way they win less than 5 games, the only way that you can really foresee that happening again is to have a horrendous defense where everybody sets records against you. Much like it would remind me of like the Florida State baseball team when they would face an opposing pitcher, and almost every night that opposing pitcher had a career high in strikeouts. It's like this, like, okay, all of a sudden this quarterback's going to have a career game. This offense is going to do stuff it hasn't done all season and won't do for the rest of the season. That happened all 9 games essentially last year. Again, they won that last game against Duke. Duke scored a big fat 0 the game before against Miami and put up 35. So against Florida State, they just gave up, you know, 8 touchdowns. So I do think that that's what, if you can go for, it's just competent, you know, lethal competency. That's what we're looking for, just lethal competence. If you can just be okay, just those noises. If those noises come out of your mouth and they're not barbaric yawps, they're not guttural screams. What are we watching? Like you did all of last year. I think that's worth 1.5 wins. Maybe 2. Maybe 2. Maybe it takes you from 5 to 7 or from 6 to 8.
Okay. Yeah, I can get behind that. Going back and looking at North Carolina last year, they surrendered 45 points in a victory, 31 to Florida State in a loss, 44 in a loss to Virginia, 53 in a win against Wake Forest, and then 31 in a loss against Notre Dame, 41 against A&M. So, like, those are big numbers. I mean, 41 twice, yeah. 45, 53, but they were able to win that one because they have the number 5 total offense. You're still going to have some stinkers. And the thing is, Adam Fuller is still going to be your coordinator because you're going into the final year of a contract. You're not going to let the guy walk. My fear is, like, you're almost going to Charles Kelly predicament if it happens this way. But, like, what more could you really ask, though, right? It would almost feel, isn't it unreasonable? I know we all love Florida State. We grew up on having a dominant defense, Mickey Andrews, et cetera, et cetera. But it's almost beyond the pale to expect this team to have, like, a top 20 defense.
I don't see how that could happen.
Yeah.
I think your ceiling is maybe top 40-ish, where you're giving up 400 yards a game. If you look up the stats last year for the top 40 defense, it's not the 90s anymore, where stats just overwhelm you, unless you're Alabama or Georgia occasionally, and they're giving up 240 yards per game. Everybody gives up 350-plus per game. But, so I don't see how you could get anywhere near the top 20. The one thing that should give you hope is that there are plenty of – it's a different defense than what you had last year, personnel-wise. And you really only lost one productive player. You're gaining a lot of production from other schools, but you only lost one productive player, and that was your cornerback. So that should give you a little hope. So you've traded some bad guys that were at least bad last year for dudes that have done it on this level consistently. And then you also have you hope the young guys get better, get stronger, get faster, get better. That happens. It's allowed to happen. So with that regard, some of the personnel will be the same. A lot of it will be different, especially in the starting 11. You're probably looking at 5 transfers at least, 4 or 5, and then other guys that are in the rotation. So wouldn't you say close to half of the depth chart will be guys from other schools that didn't play last year?
Yeah.
The top two.
Well, just, you know, throw in like Fabian Lovett, because, I mean, you know, just say transfers, yeah. I guess, period. At the same time, though, then you – these are good problems, I guess, to having, because if they do perform at a high level, that's the only way a guy like Lovett or Cooper probably leaves. Because, I mean, Jermaine Johnson's gone. He's only got 1 year left. Keir Thomas, his eligibility will be exhausted. So, I mean, they're going to be in this sort of – I know Norvell said that he doesn't want to depend on the portal. They want to be able to evaluate and develop high school kids. I mean, at best, maybe only 2 more years of having to do that. But I think one more year, right?
I mean, he did, like, the thing about Norvell, you know, what was the biggest weakness on the defense last year? I know a lot of people would say linebacker. Me personally, I thought it was defensive end. No pass rush.
Yeah.
The dude brought in 8 defensive ends. 8. 3 transfers and 5 incoming freshmen. If you want to count Keir Thomas as a defensive end because he plays inside and outside. He brought in 8 pass rushers. Now, those true freshmen, maybe one sniffs the field in meaningful minutes, 1 or 2. But he identified a problem. It was like, I'm bringing 8 guys in. Yeah. We're going to find a couple of these dudes that can go get the quarterback. So you have to figure the pass rush will be better if they're healthy. But the point being, those 5 freshmen, okay, they're not going to contribute much this year, but they will learn, at least from one guy that does it at a pretty high level. And you hope by 2022, they're ready to play and contribute. And maybe a couple of those guys are studs or real good players. And then you don't have to hit the portal so hard. You'll know at the in December of 2021, okay, we need to load up again, about 7 or 8 guys, get 4 on the defensive line, or I think we're feeling pretty good about what we got on the edge.
Yeah, we'll see. I just, you know, Patrick Payton, George Wilson, a little bit undersized right now. I still think, like, you know, I even think even one redshirt year is probably not enough to get them ready to go on a consistent basis, but hopefully a guy like Byron Turner would be, and maybe Shaunbrey Jackson, although they say that, you know, the interior is probably where he'll end up. But nonetheless, you do have options there. But it won't be boring, man. I will say that about this program. I don't know how fun it's going to be. There's going to be some rocky roads, some growing pains, but it's not going to be boring. Also,
oh, didn't they lost the defensive end, right? Had, in the portal on
Deontay Williams from Baylor, transferred in last season. He's back in the portal as a grad transfer. My understanding, again, the July 1st thing, I kind of had it messed up. I don't know if I talked about it on the show. I know I tweeted about it, but I always thought that you had to be enrolled and cleared by your new institution by July 1st, but you have to put your name in the portal by July 1st to be eligible to play this upcoming season. However, I think since Williams is a grad transfer, I think he's fine. I think July 1st is if you're going to do the one-time transfer thing as an undergrad. So he's a grad transfer. I think he can move freely and be eligible for wherever. But obviously, that was a huge position to need. He got some burn last year, but nothing significant or substantial. And as we sit here in July, he's decided to go elsewhere. So nothing bad to say about it. Just, you know, obviously didn't work out the way either side wanted to. And it's the way it happens now, man. It's like free agency. You bring guys in, you cut them, and you move on. And no ill will. He's a legacy. So hopefully he catches on, stays healthy, and does good things for wherever he ends up.
But he could read the tea leaves, right? Like they recruited over him, he didn't seem to be a big part of their plans in 2021.
No. Somebody though, that's a big part of the plans for 2021 and moving forward. The latest addition to the WarChant.com family. Let's drop that news on him now, Corey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
It's not a thing. It's not a doohickey. We got a person that's going to take this thing to the next level. We got him on the line right now. Caller, can you introduce yourself? Where are you calling us from, and who are you?
Just kidding. Not good afternoon, and welcome, everybody. Hey, guys. It's Tom. I'm from Tallahassee. The zip code was ESPN formerly, and now it's warchant.com. How's it going, boys?
Good, man. Good. I feel like Aslan, I feel like our territory gets crept upon more and more. Now we got a guy that's been doing this. How long have you been? How long were you at ESPN, Tom? Was it like, what? It had to be 10 years, close to 10 years, right?
It was closing in on it. Yeah, I started in April of 2012. I had to pave the way for one Jeff Cameron to launch his show in August of 2012. But there was some stuff that needed to get done and laid bare and fixed. And so that was my beginning over at ESPN. And then over the years, it was a program director, ops manager, general manager, all the crap that needs to get done, got done guy. But now I am back, as I said on the site, I'm in the creation game again, boys. I want to make stuff. I want to make cool things that look cool and sound cool. So that's why I'm here.
Well, and for the people that don't know, and I assume that's very few of you, but Tom Lang worked on the Jeff Cameron show on 97.9. Like, that's what we were talking about for like the last 9 years plus. And you have worked on War Chant sporadically, including this past year when you did the analytics, the Hamalytics stuff for the basketball team. So I just assume, and we should, that most people know who you are. But still, for the ones that don't, give us a little background, my man. Give us a little background. You don't have to go into the Met stuff. Nobody cares. Maybe a little Lightning. People like that stuff. But just a background of how you wound up in Tallahassee, how you wound up at Florida State.
Sure. So I grew up in the Tampa Bay area. I was born in Brooklyn. That would be the Mets connection. It's not just, you know, a random thing. But I grew up in Tampa Bay, went to school at Florida State. I started in January of 2006. And before my undergrad time was over, I took a class called Mass Media, Sports and Society. Dr. Arthur Rainey was the professor. And within that class, there was a project. You had to prepare a report, a comprehensive report on a facet of sports media. And I was assigned sports radio. And so I had the chance to ask Jeff Cameron to, you know, be a part of my term paper. He declined. So instead, Matt Millar was the person that I had for the term paper Q&A. And Matt liked the questions I was asking. And so I said, he said, listen, show me the paper when it's done. And if it's good, then we'll get you in here for an internship. And so in 2009, just before I graduated, I interned at Clear Channel Tallahassee, now iHeart. It was 1270 The Team, 1270 WNLS. And it was at that point I formed some relationships that have been lifelong friendships and also professional relationships. So that's how I got started in radio just before I was done. And when I graduated, the economy was pure crap, Corey and Aslan, pure crap. So any chance I could get to work in a place like radio, even if it was 20 hours a week at minimum wage, that's exactly what I did. And you wait long enough and maybe they call your number. So that's what they did over to ESPN. And since then, you know, it's just been grinding day in and day out with Jeff. And now it's time to join War Chant. So I'm just thrilled to be here amongst you fellows, amongst Ira and Gene and Michael and Austin. And I can't wait to start interacting with everybody across everything, be it the pod, be it obviously the YouTube channel, which will be something I'm working heavily on and on the boards as well.
Tom, you know, I used to work in television. You obviously ESPN radio. A lot of people, when I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to War Chant, like, what's War Chant? I'm like, it's a website. They're like, oh, you're going to go cover a website? Like, you used to be on TV. Like, isn't, like, aren't you almost taking a step down? It's like, no. I know Corey still has love for newspapers. Ira still has love for newspapers. I'm sure you have an affinity still for radio, but this is onward and upward for sure.
Oh, easily. And that is, this is not a PR answer. This is not PR BS. This is just truth. The red tape that's required to exist on a radio station is absolutely brutal. We rated well, especially in men 25, 54, things were always top five, top 10 with the show was top three always. But that's not, your job's not done there, especially as I was asked to do more stuff, Aslan and Corey, and you know this, you know, in those industries, the longer they have you, the more hats they ask you to wear for the exact same rate. So, you know, all the stuff behind the scenes that needed to get done fell on my plate. And so when you say onward and upward, I say hallelujah and amen, because there's all kinds of extra stuff I get to do here and create rather than maintain. So this is just a really incredible opportunity. And I'm glad that Gene called me and asked me to have a sit down, because when he told me what he had up his sleeve, I was like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the team is getting, it was already pretty strong. It's just getting stronger. This is a really good hire that Gene made. I'm not just saying that because you're a friend. I think there are things you can do to build us, like we said, into the future, because what we're doing with YouTube and podcasts and videos and entertainment, even videos around the War Chant brand and the War Chant channel on YouTube, I think it's just going to be anybody that's a Florida State fan that's not subscribed to War Chant and that's not on the War Chant YouTube channel, you're not really a fan of Florida State, is what it comes down to. I mean, I think at this point we're making it so we're making it impossible to avoid us. So yeah. I really do think that credit to Gene for having the forethought to do this. You know, it goes back to, 2014, having the forethought to go after Ira, like really go after Ira. And then obviously his stroke of genius move coming to get me a few years later, put the company over the top. But now we even got Tom Lang. We got Aslan, Austin Langston. It's a dream team, gang. It is a dream team. So welcome aboard, buddy.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And stroke of genius, I don't think that's a Bobby Jones biopic. I think that's going to be on your epitaph, right? That's you. You are the stroke of genius. So this is a bronze medal hire compared to that one, Corey, and certainly compared to the Ira hire. But I look forward to doing a lot of things that are new. And spoiler alert, I do think there are going to be some things that are quite similar to if you've, you know, seen my work or heard my work. There are going to be some things that sound awfully similar to the stuff that was done in the past. And I look forward to doing all those things. I can't wait to learn from you all too, because everybody has a different strength. And like you said, Corey, while there is some redundancy and you know, we all have our specialties in different facets, there's also some stuff that I think we all can learn from each other. So we're one big happy family at War Chant. We all knew each other this whole time anyway, and we're going to get along just fine. And we're going to bring you along for the ride.
Aslan, isn't the biggest thing now he's got to start drinking DeLuna coffee? Like that's a well, no doubt thing he has to do, right?
I was gonna say McUltra, but we can start with DeLuna and then we can get him to McUltra.
Sure.
What's the Twitter? What's your Twitter handle, Tom? Let the people know.
Oh, at ESPN Greeny. I'm sorry, excuse me. At _ Tom Lang, TOMLANG. I'm sure you've seen a retweet or two probably by morning time if this is when you're listening to it. After you've enjoyed your DeLuna coffee and you've prepared your register sausage lunch, which I know that's not necessarily the wake-up sponsor, but we're all one big team here.
And exactly.
If you throw some merch and or some sponsorships our way, we'll make sure that we take care of everybody involved. And obviously, I look forward to interacting with everybody out and about this football season. Like they said, I graduated Florida State, but if you know some of the stuff I've said on the air, obviously the post-game call-in show, I'm not afraid to rip this group. Hopefully we don't have to do as much of that this year, though, right? Isn't the arrow pointing up? Let's cover it.
Yes. We're climbing. We are all climbing.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
5-1-0, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So, Corey, this is finally your hopes, your aspirations to create, like, Hard Knocks, the life of Corey Clark. Does this now happen with Tom on board? Like, do he and I now, we can combine forces to film you and edit you and just show what you're doing out there, living life,
being chronicle grand. My life.
Yeah.
Go back and forth to Atlanta with me.
Yeah.
Hang out with Brady. Yeah, you guys are down for that, right? I know he's just recently married, but that's essentially like being single. He's in his first few months of marriage. And you're single, so yeah. What else are you gonna do? So just hop in the car every Tuesday night, Wednesday night, whatever it is during the season. Drive up to Atlanta with me.
I just want to get that shot of you like just driving through whatever rural road, just your car like zinging by me, and then have like a drone shot following you for like a mile as you drive 25 miles an hour through that small sleepy town in Georgia. And
right,
we got the options are limitless. The options are absolutely limitless. But yeah, shout out again to Tom. Welcome aboard, man. It's gonna be great.
And I do think people will watch us if we play a round of golf together, Aslan. I think people would watch us do that.
I would, but like, I just would feel weird asking like Tom, you're going to come like what? Tom's not our lackey. Tom's
nope.
established.
I got it. I talked to Ira. We've got an intern in mind that can do the filming.
Okay, well, who's going to edit it? I'm going to edit it.
No, the intern can edit it.
Wow, you live in a great world where we have an intern that can film and edit. This is great.
Got an intern in mind, so we're gonna try to do some cool stuff. Think about it, we'll pay a little bit. It's not an unpaid internship. We'll throw a few bucks, but I just think people would like that. I think it could be get people to know us even better. I mean, we do a pretty good job on this show. We let people in. I haven't had a Tinder update from you in a long time, but we let people in for the most part. And this will just be even more so, like us going out, having a business meeting, filming us before a press conference, after a press conference, all that good stuff, man.
All right. Well, I hope we can find work that or help that would be able to execute that sort of stuff. I'm all for that. Just it's tough, man. But you guys got a good eye. You guys are good scouts for talent. So hopefully it shall all work out. By the way, yeah, I don't want to get too derailed before we get to Renegade Express here, but I remember this whole we can't let Twitter dictate our lives. Although it's the only social media app I use. I don't use Facebook. I don't have an Instagram. But I remember every week there's like some sort of viral, like let's rise up and topple, whatever has been the standard forever. And like telling people it's unacceptable to offer internships if they're not paid. And like, I interned for War Chant when I was in college, and Gene paid me like a stipend. Now, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to be able to, you know, pay my rent and a car payment and my bills and everything, but it was an internship. Like, that's part of this. I mean, I don't want to be the guy like, hey, my life was difficult. Your life needs to be difficult too. But like, there shouldn't be any shame in an internship that's not like a full, it's called a job if you've got full pay and benefits, right? There's got to be a line of delineation here.
Yeah, you know, I see both sides, right? Like think about the GAs, like the GAs that work at these college football. They put in 80 hours a week and make like $11,000 or something. Right. Meanwhile, their boss makes millions of dollars. That disparity is a little much, but I get it. I would have a hard time somebody busting their butt for us 40 hours a week or 25 hours a week and being just like, thanks, we really appreciate that. Hey, get your teacher to call me. I'll tell him you did a great, or her, you did a great job. That's a little much, but yeah, it's kind of how the way of the world, the way it's always worked. I understand it from the person's, not the employer as much as the employee. Like, I understand that you got to get experience.
Yeah.
And especially in journalism, any frame of journalism now, you need as much experience as you can. You need to have clips. You need to have, I don't know, audio, interviews, whatever you have to do. You have to be able to show that you've done it, that you can do it by any means necessary. So I see the value in it. It's just like, let me just say this. If we have somebody come and film us play a round of golf and edit it down to a 25-minute, digestible product that gets thousands upon thousands of views on YouTube, they're going to get more than just a handshake.
Right. Yeah, man, absolutely. I hope we can find this person. I can't wait. I'm almost more excited for this than I am the Tom Lang news. This is amazing.
This things are changing, baby. Things are always happening. Things are always happening at War Chant, man.
Oh, all right, man. Let's get on to the ponies. It is Renegade Express time, everybody. Let's start off with our friend in Kentucky. His name is Dave. But to you folks, he's Bourbon Is Your Friend over on the WarChant.com Tribal Council. Way up. Like Mark, Madman AMZZ, AMZC, it's actually M Adam CZ, but it's, you know, I'm stupid with it. I was having War Chant withdrawals myself, says Dave, last week as well. By the way, everyone should know Dave's in healthcare. I think he's like a doctor. He works in a hospital setting. He's not carrying around a broom and a mop, I tell you that. This is a crazy post. Your show came in just in time, so I didn't need an IV infusion of precious War Chant episodes or previous War Chant episodes, Aslan, to stave off the DTs. Thanks for grinding for us. What are the DTs, Corey?
I don't know.
Maybe that's some medical term. Anyhow, I'd like to offer my take on the NIL, name, image, likeness issue. I am concerned it will be another distraction from the ultimate goal of getting to the league or getting a degree and a great post-college job. For those whom the NFL is a possibility, it seems laser-sharp focus on the physical and mental aspects of the game and life in general can be the difference between millions of dollars and going nowhere. For those hoping to have a nice college career, graduate, get a good job, there are so many distractions and challenges as well. I, Dave says, had the advantage of poor social skills to keep me focused in the late 90s. Now that I'm in my 40s, I realize just how quickly $500, $1,000, or even $20,000 can just evaporate and not really add anything to my long-term financial stability. It would be a shame for a super talented player to miss film study or show up late to practice just to earn $1,000 cutting a promo for a new low-carb Zaxby's box. Okay.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I think, I'm sure there will be some policies in place at every program to say, look, practice, you cannot do anything. From class, when do they go to class, Aslan? Because they practice earlier, they want to. So they go to class from like 12 to 3 or 10 to 3, and then they practice before that, whatever it is.
No, I think I think they go to class after, right? They practice like
that's
in the
what
morning.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
sorry. Yeah, they practice in the morning and then they go to class.
Yeah.
So their day as a student athlete, at least as the student, is done at probably 3:30 for some of these guys.
Yeah.
And then they have, they do have film work they have to do, they have to lift, they have to do all this stuff, they have to eat. But, we're talking about, they also go out and bowl. They go to movies. They date. Like, it's not like Chris Winkie even was completely laser focused and he was 27 years old. Ponder wasn't laser focused. He was dating models. Like you can do all of it. I think he was dating models. I'm almost positive he was. Him and Clint Trickett. They had, anyway, long story. But you can imagine like the starting quarterback at Florida State and the kind of distractions that come up. And I assume most quarterbacks at Florida State have been distracted a few times. And frankly, all the popular athletes on campus. And I just think you that's part of growing up. You know, it's part of growing up is to be able to divide your time. And you know, so this adds something else to it. But if it's just a tweet, if it's an hour meeting, if it's an hour and a half shoot at 6 p.m. when you would be eating Zaxby's with your buddies anyway, I don't think it's going to be – I would hope that it wouldn't become too big of a distraction. It could. It very well could. But, you know, these pro football players deal with it too. I know they're pros, but they have advertisements they do. I don't think they miss practice to go to a Ford F-150 ad.
If it's a Chevy, you know, we'll think about it.
Yeah, right. So don't you think, like, I just think the one thing about college that everybody learns is time management. You have to do it. You have to know how to do it.
Yeah.
And student athletes, especially a football player, when so much of their time is devoted to their sport and then they have studies. So this is just another element to that. And you hope that they're smart with it and it won't interfere. It just can't interfere with practice. That would be a very, very big deal if a kid just missed a practice because he was at an autograph signing or something. Yeah. Not that you'd have an autograph signing at 8:30 in the morning,
right,
unless you're out front of a Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I can't imagine a kid doing something that's going to interfere with, I mean, yeah, unfortunately, schoolwork is probably going to be the thing that's going to get cut into. No one's going to skip lifting to make a grand because if they don't have the team, they're not making money. So they need to keep the
right
team aspect of things. I could be a little bit concerned.
And they need
about,
to be good. They need to be good.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to be marketable if you're not good.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, you know, the money aspect. Maybe this is a little quicker kick in the pants for, you know, financial literacy. I mean, they get classes that teach them about it, but you know, you need that hands-on experience. So maybe actually having the money in your hands, you'll figure out the best way to sort of invest it and use it. So those are good points for sure. Let's carry on. Second part of the question. Apparently, this is for me. Alsan, spelled my name wrong, but it's okay. Since so many of our best players are transfers, we need a backup plan if they aren't performing as expected. If Keir Thomas and Jamie Robinson aren't lighting up the opposition, should we get a fake dry erase board for Adam Fuller to destroy a la Muschamp? If Jermaine Johnson isn't getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks, should we get a Kirby Smart wig for Odell or Mike Norvell? If Milton and Brandon Moore don't look sharp, should we get a muscle suit for Norvell to make him look more like Scott Frost? Lastly, if Andrew Parchment drops too many balls, should we... never mind. I'm sure there might be like a Les Miles joke in there, but I still haven't read the story about that.
It's not good.
Not good,
it's not
right?
Good.
He's done.
No.
He's done.
No. Yeah.
They're not. It's going to be great, man. Jamie Robinson is going to be awesome. Jamie Robinson is going to be awesome. Keir Thomas, Corey says, is going to be awesome. We all think Jermaine Johnson is going to be pretty great. Mackenzie Milton. Although, like, is Mackenzie Milton Tom Lang and I'm Jordan Travis? You know, like. Just kidding.
I don't think so, man. No way.
It's no way. We're all having fun, everybody. It's all great. It's going to be great. Hopefully, we get this. Are we going to get this intern on board by the time we go to Charlotte? That's going to be the real.
No, that's the real story. That's you guys.
Okay. S. Quinn, 67. Wing up. We are Marvin Jones days away from the kickoff of our FSU football season. Let's go. We're probably even closer to that. He posted that on Monday. It's now Thursday. So what, like 52? I was excited to see Matt Nelson get drafted on day one by the Reds. What a great example of an athlete working on his or her craft each year for the betterment of the team and individual. It is going to pay off big for him. My question for the week. What FSU football player came back for another season, improved his draft position the most? Someone that could have left with the potential to be drafted but came back. It's DeMarcus Walker, right? It's one that always comes to mind. Quickest.
Yeah, I mean, he went, what did he go, middle of the second round, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, he made millions of dollars that year for sure. He wasn't a first rounder, but those second rounders get paid a substantial amount of money too. I'm trying to think, like, you know, it doesn't really count because I don't think he was draft eligible. But the way Benjamin came back for his money year. Because he was, you know, he tweeted stuff after the Northern Illinois game that he immediately took down. Basically not happy with, even though they just won, not happy with the play calling, not happy with his production on the team or the looks they gave him, whatever. And he immediately took it down. But I remember in that moment, January 1st, 2013, thinking, okay, Benjamin might not be long for this team. And if that had happened, if he'd have left and gone somewhere else, who knows what happens to his life. As it is, he comes back 9 months later in incredible shape. It is one of the most dominant receivers in the country, especially the second half of the season. Couldn't be guarded. I would say I know that doesn't really fit the question. But
yeah,
that's
because he didn't really have potential. No one was going to if he would have left, he wasn't getting drafted.
Nobody was talking about him.
Yeah.
Nobody. He was just going to be a guy that had potential that never realized it. But he had, like, I don't know what he had in 2012, like 25 catches, a couple touchdowns, nothing special. And so for him to come out and become a dominant 1,000-yard game-winning touchdown receiver, crush Florida like he did, I think that kind of speaks to the point of somebody that made – because he was just an okay guy, and he came in so heavy as a freshman. And then his third year, he gets all svelte. He's 6'6". The Boston College DB said it was like guarding Avatar when he was trying to cover him. And he just became this freak, and he became a first-round pick and a millionaire. And that to me is like a Matt Nelson type story. His third year, he became so much better than he had already been.
I know we're a Florida State centric show. I was almost wondering, like, if even expanding this out, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Unfortunately, we always remember like the bad examples. We remember the Matt Barkley's, the Matt Leinart's, those guys. It was like, why are you coming back, man? Leave already. Those Clemson guys, everything still worked out for those guys that came back.
You know, the thing is, though, don't you think the reality is, though, like people always said Leinart made a mistake. He was going to be the number one pick, or Matt Barkley made a mistake, or Clawson, or whoever comes back for their last year and then they don't get drafted as high as like Mel Kiper predicted the beginning of the season. It's like, well, they hadn't been scouted yet. Like the problems that the reason Matt Leinart was drafted 10th didn't have anything to do with what he did in college the 5 months before that, because he was awesome that year. He was great in that national championship game they lost to USC. He was incredible. It was just he got scouted, right? And so I think that's what happens is we feel like these people kind of hurt their stock by coming back, but in reality, they're the same players. They're just getting scouted under a microscope, and all their little flaws are being pointed out. Like Devontae Freeman, what would have made sense for him to come back? You know what I mean?
It's nearly. I mean, I'm getting more used to the fact that I can't hope and expect kids to stay. But like running backs, like Christian McCaffrey, they had some sort of preseason list for the top five running backs, maybe either for fantasy football purpose or whatever. Like Christian McCaffrey's no longer on it. Like Christian McCaffrey was on the cover of Madden, I think, 2 years ago. Done now. Yeah, done. But like that's how quickly you fall. So yeah, for running backs, you have to leave.
But just in general, I don't think you make a huge leap from junior year to senior year unless you get an opportunity to play. Like somebody like maybe Jermaine Johnson, who gets more of an opportunity to showcase his skills. Yeah. But if you started as a junior and then you come back and start and played all 12 games, you come back as a senior and play all 12 games, you're probably not going to move your draft stock up that much. You're usually kind of you are what you are when you're a junior in college as far as draft purposes. You know, maybe a quarterback that didn't play much that just really has a great year as last year. I don't know. It's weird that you can't even think of one that like comes back because most don't come back. And why would you? So
Baker Mayfield, I think.
Sure, that's a good one.
Could he have left?
I'm trying to think of like other positions though, not the skill positions as much as the other ones. And I'm just having a hard time. I'm sure people are yelling. There's 8 or 10 that we're not thinking about. But by and large, I just think if you're a All-American, very good, draftable player as a junior, there's not a whole lot you can do to be like Derwin James might not be a great example, but like say Derwin James had come back and played his senior year, he probably gets drafted higher, but not so much that it would have made sense for him to risk coming back for another year.
Absolutely.
You know, he could have proven that the injury was behind him and he's one of the best players in the country. He could have played his way up 10 spots in the draft. But, you know, I don't, that's not really worth it. And usually you are, what you are as a junior is what you're going to be as a senior. It's not like you're going to be like, man, let's see if they can win 11 games in the ACC. Then I'm going to draft this guy in the first round. It's like, yeah, they know what you are when they start scouting you.
All right, let's take the last one for the day. We actually have enough that we'll come back with a Friday show, everybody. Look at that. Who loves you? Three shows. July. Grinding. XDQ004. It's Derek, y'all. He's an Omega man. Wait up. Easy question this week. What three stadiums are on your visit bucket list for college football games? Well, he doesn't say college football games. He just says for games. He puts three college teams, college stadiums. His three, my three, Derek says. Happy Valley, Penn State. Death Valley, LSU. Bryant-Denny. What about you guys? Drink DeLuna, eat Zaxby's, give our fearless hosts 5 stars. Go Noles. Thank you, Derek. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Derek.
Don't go to Bryant-Denny. Bryant-Denny's overrated. Bryant-Denny's, it's large in scale, but it's steel.
It looks cookie cutter. It looks nothing unique about it. Yeah. It just looks like a big stadium. I think Happy Valley's a good one. That's one I haven't been to. I've been lucky enough to be to a lot of good ones, most of the good ones. But I would say Washington.
Yes, that's very sneaky. Good pick. Very good.
So I and Happy Valley, I like that answer. I'm going to stick with that one just because the atmosphere, the environment, like it just looks like just such a unique, different type of place to watch a football game. I have to imagine it takes a day and a half to get out of that place after a game. Can you imagine 90,000 people just driving in the woods in Pennsylvania and then getting out? But yeah, so Penn State, Washington, and I don't know, maybe A&M. Just because it's so weird, the vibe, they kiss people, at least they used to. They kiss after they score touchdowns. They do the sway with the 12th man. They have all the weird cheers. Nothing but male cheerleaders. It feels like it would be something to behold, just to look at it and see what it's like.
Would you yell at Jimbo to fire Mike Elko? Just so you can tell
no,
him to come
Mike
down.
Elko's actually pretty good. I'd yell at him to fire Charles Kelly.
Oh gosh! I was looking at the total defenses. That was fantastic, by the way. West Virginia had the number one total defense in Power Five last year. They allowed 291 yards. Man, A&M was ninth. That guy's good.
Yeah, Elko's good, and that's the SEC's a pretty good conference. Yeah. You know what, West Virginia? I think I'm gonna. I don't know,
no,
man. West Virginia,
come on,
is a
really?
Weird...
You want to go to Morgantown?
It's a pretty state. I've driven through it on the way to Jameis's opener. It's a really pretty state, but you know, it could be a little dicey in West Virginia too. But I feel like a Saturday afternoon game. They're all singing that John Denver song at the end. That could be a cool moment too.
Which, by the way, there's a great thread about why should there be Seminole Wind playing in the stadium on game days. And so be like, yeah, you know, like they play Country Roads in West Virginia. And then there's a couple of good people in there finding the good fight. Like, no, we're not doing it. Someone's like, leave it at Hauser. I was like, my man. I'll pull an SEC game, stadium out. Oh, these are all, they've got caveats to them. I want to go to Neyland, but only if I can get there by boat. I want to get an Airbnb on the river or whatever it is, and then take a boat.
Just sleep in the boat, man.
Or that.
Just get yourself a yacht. Sleep in the boat.
Yeah, there's something. Maybe it's because the way, I don't know, CBS afternoon games, when Tennessee has a big game, that place looks like magical. Like, I don't know, the way the light like reflects off, it looks pretty cool. I wouldn't mind going and catching a Tennessee game, preferably them beating Florida. That'd be one I'd put on there. I want to go, I think, just to enhance my culture, I'd want to go to Lincoln. I'd want to watch a game at Nebraska, like a big time game with Nebraska in it. Because I've heard great things. Even my Miami friend, who, you know, Miami people are a little bit rough around the edges. He's like, they are the nicest people. It's the most awesome experience ever. He went out. They had Miami played at Nebraska a few years ago, actually. So
yeah,
I'd put that on there. And I don't want to steal your Seattle pick. Maybe
you
I should
can,
go.
Man. I stole Derek's Penn State pick.
Yeah. I'd probably say, let me go to Washington. Let's go to Husky Stadium.
Not Boise.
No. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And not Autzen, although Autzen's a little more intimate, so maybe it'll be a little more rocking and rolling. But I'll take Husky Stadium in Seattle. So we'll do that. That'd be great. All right, that is a wrap for us, but not for the week. Drop another show for you folks on Friday. Do stay tuned for that one. Subscribe to the podcast. It's available everywhere Leave a thumbs up and all that sort of stuff. If you want to wait until you hear the full podcast, you don't want to give away praise without work being done. I need to – my drywall guys are almost done, Corey. Hopefully by the time everybody's hearing this, the drywall part of this will be done. Mm. And I'm going to leave them a 5-star review if everything holds up. Knock
Great,
on
man.
Wood.
Nice.
Yeah. Being positive, optimistic, everything. He's Corey. I'm Azal. Thanks for listening to Wake Up War Chant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee.
WarChant.com is the ultimate inside source for FSU football and recruiting. And now you can get in on the action for free for an entire month. WarChant.com is offering a risk-free 30-day trial subscription. Get full access to the number one website covering the Seminoles just by entering the promo code WARCHANT30. That's WARCHANT30. Sign up and get in on the world's most active FSU message boards. Receive breaking news, stories from our award-winning staff, plus get exclusive interviews and videos. Just enter the promo code WARCHANT30. WARCHANT.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.